asking us as men forgiveness. Well, I'll tell you, when God spoke to Sarai, then she was, of course, she said, "Wow, how could this be? You know, I mean, I can't understand this." And then I see the scripture here in Genesis 18, and it's in verse 14. And this is one, folks, you ought to get to know, because it's also in Luke chapter 1, yes, when Mary was talking to the angel. You know, how could it be? I'm a virgin. You know, how could all this happen? Well, here we're talking about God opening the womb, in a sense. And here in Genesis 18:14, "Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son."
And you know what they both did? When Abraham first heard from God, he laughed. And when Sarah heard that she was going to have a baby, she laughed. And so that's what Isaac means, laughter. And it's important to note here that sometimes we might think it's incredulous what God is telling us to do. We're saying, "God, I can't do this. This is beyond all that I can think or I can do." And yet, Darren, he performs that stuff in us. The great and mighty works are performed through human beings.
I think of that little chorus we sing, "Sometimes great and mighty is he."
Yes.
"Great and mighty is he." Mm-hmm. And what's the next verse? You sing that, Barbara.
I know when I sing it.
That. Well, I'll tell you, God wants to establish these things in our lives. And folks, I want to tell you, it pays great dividends when you say to the Lord God, "You're the teacher and I'm the student." And frequently I say to him, because I am an educator and I was an educator in the public schools, "I don't have my role and yours mixed up, Lord. I'm the student and you're the teacher."
That's right.
Now, I do charge you, Lord, with the responsibility. You know exactly how I learn. I don't learn like somebody else down the street or somebody else across the church or somebody else out there in the listening audience. You know how I learn. So please get it through to me. Whatever you have to do, get it through to me.
Yes. Now, the great event came. The great event when Abram was 100 years old, a great event came, and Sarah bore him a son, and they named him Isaac. And they loved Isaac. Oh, did they love Isaac? And you know, the story isn't over with yet. When Isaac was just a boy, the Lord called to him again, and he said, "Now take your son, your only son." This is the Lord's words in Genesis 22, verse 2. God did not think of Ishmael as Abram's son. He thought of Isaac as Abraham's son. He said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Some of you have a great gift from God. You have a ministry from God. You have a calling from God. And God has told you to go and sacrifice it, and you're not willing to do it. And Darren, I believe in every minister's life, there's a time when we need to be willing to offer what God has given to us. And that's number 8 in why Abraham was such a friend of God. Abraham loved God more than the promise that God had given to him. And that's bottom line, Darren. We've got to love God more than that promise or calling.
No, I think what we're talking about here is our most treasured possession. Are we willing to give it up and lay it down, give it to the Lord? Might be a career.
Yep.
You might be abundantly blessed, and God says, "You know, I think I'd like to have you go and work with the Indians down there in Central America." And you say, "But I got a great career with Xerox." Let me tell you, you'd be better off in Guatemala than you would here with your cushy job with Xerox. Mm-hmm. Now, God doesn't often do that, but sometimes he might. And he might say, "You know, you'd be happier and more blessed down there in the jungles of Guatemala with those little Indian people than you would ever be here." Mm-hmm. In the good old U.S. with, quote unquote, what you think is so safe and so good.
Yes. Now hear this mighty man, Abraham, and I do call him a mighty man. Yes, he sinned. He wasn't perfect, and none of us are. And I'm so thankful for Abraham, and even with his downfalls and his weaknesses. But here, as he was walking up Mount Moriah, Darren, with his son Isaac, his only son, his wonderful, wonderful child, and he knows that God has called him to sacrifice him, and Isaac says, "Father, here, you know, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" And in all the faith that he can conjure up. And I know it would have been hard for me. He said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Right there is a picture of Messiah. Right there is a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he had to actually tie him on the altar and lift up the knife. He had to get that close to killing his son, his very possession, before God called him and said, don't do it. And I believe the pressure's on. Sometimes the pressure is on, and we've got to get so close to that 11th hour, that the time when the bank is going to foreclose or whatever it's going to do, and stand firm in our belief that God's going to take care of us.
I've been there many times.
I know you have.
God, you can run that clock backwards, and this would be a real good time to add some time here.
But
you know, Barbara, I have a friend, and we have a friend. I won't mention this dear friend's name, but I was talking to her about an investment that they made she and her husband, and they were grieved after they made it. They realized they made a mistake. And I was talking, she asked me for some counsel, and so I was trying to help her a little bit. And she said, you know, I'd work 3 jobs before I'd lose my credit rating. Wait a minute, folks. Let's stop and think about this. Sometimes we worship that credit rating. Sometimes that's an idol to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll tell you, I believe God has a way around that.
Yes.
And when we decide, okay, I'm going to lay it down, and in a sense, I'm going to sacrifice this treasured possession that I have, God, I'm going to watch you do that. I'm going to watch you come through for me.
That's right. Because he promised Abraham here, Darren, he said, I am Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. And that's where we get one of the names of God here, so beautifully spoken in Genesis 22, verse 14. Praise God. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to that day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And God said in verse 18, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will greatly bless you and will greatly multiply your seed. Darren, I don't think until we lay down the most precious thing in our life that we're going to see blessing. True blessing.
Well, that's one of the problems I have, very honestly, in ministry and talking to people. They have a death grip on their problem.
It's
like our friend Tim Kenny said a while back. In fact, right on this program here, we were on the air and we were interviewing him by telephone. He said when he was an alcoholic, a serious alcoholic, he said, one day I realized that I had to quit going to the problem looking for the answer. And many times God is saying, you need to lay down your problem. Oh, no, Lord, it's part of my identity. Lord, it's been with me. I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have this thing dragging around behind me. Well, you know, God has a new life for us. He wants to have some resurrection in our lives.
Yes.
And here, in a sense, Abraham has a resurrection when he was willing to lose his most treasured possession, to put that on the altar, his son, his son that came from his body, and sacrificed that boy.
Yes. Oh, praise God. He is Jehovah Jireh to you today. He really is. He wants to provide and take care of you.
I want to pray.
Right.
Father God, today we have done our best to just pour out our hearts here to our friends. And Lord, you're always pouring out your heart to us. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would be with our friends. That if we are holding on to something that stands between us and you, that you would let us know what that is and be willing to lay it down in faith and trust that you have a better plan for us. Father God, forgive us when we've blown the deal and we birthed an Ishmael, whether it's a business or relationship or something we should have never touched, but in our flesh we got into it. Let us lay that down and give it to you. And Lord, today I'm praying and asking that we'll step into those mighty covenantal blessings because you're the covenant Father. Mm-hmm. And Lord, you watch over your covenant to keep it. You said it, you believe it, you believed it at the time. You knew at the time you could keep your word no matter how many thousands of years later we'd be looking to you. You can keep it today as well as you kept it then. Thank you, Father, for being our covenant daddy. Abba, Father, in Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Amen.